Open up your ears and open up your mind. They'll reach into your throat and pull out your spine. And when the sun blows up and the earth is gone, there's still experience grind with Kyle and Sean.
We got into the discussion way earlier than normal.
Hey, it's okay. It's all good. There was a lot to talk about last week, I think. I don't remember what we talked about.
The whole nine yards.
Oh, yeah. That was a good movie.
It was a really good movie.
That was a good movie. Man,
and we didn't know what we were watching last week at the end of the episode. In fact, I didn't find out till what, like Saturday?
A couple nights ago.
Yeah.
Maybe Monday, Tuesday, Sunday. I don't know. Something like that. All I know is Sarah was in the mood to watch a movie.
Mm-hmm.
And so she started listing off like some air quotes horror stuff, right? And she came across a couple, and I was like, oh my God, she came across Sinister. She's like, have you heard of this one where this guy finds a bunch of tapes? And I'm like, man, I've seen that movie like 50 times. I fucking love that movie.
Yeah.
And then she's like, oh, let's watch that. And then she had just mentioned maybe X or Pearl, or it popped into my head for whatever reason. I'm like, man, as much as I love Sinister, like, I feel like I just really hyped it up for a movie that you're probably not going to love. But I heard X is pretty good. Let me text Kyle. Let him know I'm watching this movie.
Well, that is what seems so weird to me, because, like, that it's not a Sean movie. Like,
this movie?
This is one that I feel I would have picked and been like, yo, let's do... X.
This has been on my watch list for like at least a year. Ryan brought it up. Honestly, I kind of felt bad when I texted you that it was so late last minute.
Yeah. That's funny. I had this probably the same thought in the shower. Like, man, we should have got Ryan on. I know he really liked this movie.
Yeah.
But hey, there's always Pearl.
We definitely talked about this a lot, like on some board game arena nights or whatever. I'm like, man, yeah, that's on my list. That's on my list. But I had heard somebody talk about maybe something similar. And I'm like, man, that doesn't seem up my alley. But right off the rip, as soon as I think she mentioned Pearl, I was like, oh, man, yeah, Pearl and X. I know that those are two movies that are definitely on my list. Let's just do one of those. I heard they're really good. And I read a quick little synopsis blurb of X. I'm like, oh, fuck yeah. That sounds awesome.
It's Elon Musk's favorite movie.
Is it really?
No, it's just because it's called X and he fucking loves that shit. That's why he changed Twitter's name to that.
Wow. I'm an idiot. Okay, so on the title card, I should just name this movie Twitter.
That'd be funny.
Yeah. Like that. X, formerly known as Twitter.
Uh-huh. Starring Mia Goth.
Yeah. But like Jenna Ortega, just like all bloodied up.
She is in this too.
Yeah. Yeah, this movie, to get ahead of it, exceeded my expectations.
It's pornography perverts. It's one of the rare movies nowadays, I'll be honest, like the sex scenes didn't make me feel weird, because like they made sense story-wise, you know what
they
I mean?
They were pivotal.
Yeah, like it was kind of needed, and I thought that was and even then it wasn't like, I mean, it was gratuitous, but not to a degree past, I don't know, it was way better than what it is in most movies,
right? I saw I saw on Wikipedia earlier today a description of this movie, a contemporary take on Psycho Bitty. Had you heard that phrase before?
Yeah, I know Psycho Bitty movies, because they parody it in Arrested Development too, when she makes the Gangi movies. That's also okay. Like parodying the crazy old lady killer movies. So it is a very famous trope.
Mm-hmm.
So
they absolutely knock it out of the park with that, in terms of that, and the very small amounts that I had read on this. But I also really appreciate from movies like this when they make joking references early on that kind of parallel how the movie's gonna go, you know, and it almost ties back at the end when they find the camera and the officer's like, oh, man, it's probably a real horror in this tape or whatever.
It's but one fucked up goddamn horror movie.
Yeah. But there's like little bits and stuff that really set you up for the trajectory of the movie really early on. But Kyle, before we get into this movie, what's new with you, bud? I feel like we didn't really get to catch up last week.
You know, the more things change, the more they stay the same. Primarily a big new Destiny update is out. Hooray, everyone. It's free.
It's free.
And it's got a horde mode now.
Hooray.
Everybody's wanted forever. It's been nice.
Nice.
I had a court date today, which sounds like, I was telling you, Sean, off air, sounds more exciting than what it was. It was just traffic violation. I was speeding, and I guess in my new state, you just get a court summons instead of a speeding ticket. And I guess it's a bit of a racket, so everybody gets their palms greased. And I hired a lawyer to represent myself. The one thing was, like, you know, one day I came home and I had like 10 different letters from lawyers that were like, hey, you got this speeding ticket, let me represent you. So again, it is like a bit of a racket, I guess.
That is a racket.
Anyways, I ended up hiring one guy because he was the only one that told me if he was feeling like the judge or the prosecutors that day were kind of harsh and being not very lenient, he would just like reschedule the mm-hmm. court date and try to come back and get it. But he basically got me down to just like a simple moving violation that won't impact my license.
Sick. Or
anything. So it won't increase my insurance. They just said there was something wrong with my speedometer. And, again, now I just pay some court fees, ta-da. Because, again, everybody's palms gets greased but mine, I guess.
Yeah. I mean, so. I can't imagine that our listener base is very young. It's probably all people our own age. But, hey,
sure.
If you are a youngin' out there, keep that in mind. Tickets make a difference.
It does suck. But it was also great because I didn't have to actually go to court because I could just hire this guy, so... And I, at one point, I thought about going just to, like, watch. But they were like, yeah, you really don't need to because you have to pay for parking by the hour. And you never know when they're actually going to get to your case, so.
That's fucked.
Yeah. And that's what I was flipping out because I hired the guy, or, like, I signed these papers. And then, like, I literally hear nothing. And this was, like, 3 weeks ago. And the court date was today. And then, like, still, like, I didn't hear anything like yesterday. No, like, hey, we're going to the blah, blah, blah tomorrow. I didn't hear anything today. It was like 4 o'clock, man. And I was getting nervous. Like, did I not do something right? Maybe did this guy not go represent me? And there's actually like a warrant out for my arrest now because I skipped court. So I'm flipping out and I call his number at like 4. And of course, he's got like all these answering service people. And I was just like, hey, I was just getting a little nervous. Like, is there an update on anything? And they're like, sir, court ends at 5 and he will give you information after that. And I was like, oh, okay, cool. Thanks. I was like, so we're good though? She's like, you're fine, sir. And I was like, all right, thanks. Sorry to bug you.
That's crazy. I'm pretty sure on those, I think I've absolutely gotten one of those before, but I'm so used to just like, you know, you just pay a ticket or whatever, that I didn't realize it was a summons. So I just fucking ignored it. And so they just register as you, like, just pleading guilty to it and you just pay a fine.
Yeah. That was what was weird, is that this cop made it, like, specifically point out that he wasn't giving me a ticket. Like, this was just the summons to go to court. Because I guess they would decide, like, how bad what my speeding was and then assign the fine at court. if they hadn't have done this thing where they...
What were you doing, 214?
No, I was doing like 63 and a 50, like 13
That's
over.
Stupid, dude.
It was also like, I think it was like the 28th. It was like the end of the month.
Oh, yeah. Just gotta hit that quota, bro.
Yeah, it sucked. Oh, anyways, man. What are you gonna do, man? Cops, government, you can't fight City Hall, dog. Yeah. Can't fight City Hall.
Yeah. You can if you like move into the middle of nowhere and booby trap your property.
They still come for you. They're gonna get you, dog.
I watched this video. Like, okay, so Mitch sends me TikToks, reels, nonstop. Like, that's how he communicates. Like, I don't even think he knows how to talk anymore. He just like,
yeah.
You know how some people just like start grunting or making like animalistic noises?
Yeah.
Mitch like exists by sending reels and TikToks. And I don't open the TikToks because I learned quite a while ago, he sends me a TikTok and I click on it and it doesn't open the one that he sent me. I can keep opening the same one over and over again. And it just opens random ass ones.
I've had that happen before too, and it's so annoying. And it's like, this thing sucks. It's a way to get you to get the fucking app, which I'm not gonna do.
Oh, it's not happening. So, I mean, honestly, half the time, from what I watch when I click on it, and then I go back and I look at the still of what he sent me, I guarantee you, whatever random video it was way better than whatever you sent me to begin with. Like, dude, it was like this redneck in the middle of nowhere talking about, he's like, yeah, my lawyer called me yesterday and he goes, you ready for court tomorrow? He goes, yeah, I'm not going back to jail. They can try to come get me. I got coyotes trained to eat people. I got spools of barbed wire everywhere, landmines all over my property, and shotguns rigged to shoot on a trigger. It was like, dude, he goes on for a minute, and it just keeps getting escalatingly more ridiculous. Like, I've trained condors to come down and peck out the eyes of any white man that touches my premises. I'm like, Jesus Christ, what is going on? But it was the greatest thing I've seen all week.
That's fantastic. Was it like a news blooper thing?
No idea. I have no idea. Dude, half the time, you watch something like that, you don't know if it's staged, you don't know if it's real. At this point, I don't care.
It's only going to get worse too, man, with AI.
Yeah, I hope that guy right now is still bunkered down, just like battling the forces that be. I mean, I'm not rooting for him, but like, I just want to see how long he'll last.
AI has gotten like scary good, scary fast. Have you noticed?
Yeah.
It's fucking wild, man.
Yeah, it's pretty bad.
Oh, man.
We're good, I guess. I don't know.
No, I think it's pretty terrible, too. We're fucked, man. Holy shit.
We're and so everybody's like, hey, man, you got to just get behind this. Just like grow with the times. And
like, not like, even that, man. Dude. Just like the fucking... the crazy amount of false and fake information that's going to start coming out soon.
Mm-hmm.
Just completely and you believable, fabricated bullshit. Oh, my God.
Oh, my God. Dude, there was somebody that I was just chatting to recently who's young enough to be a couple years removed from college. And they're like, oh, I mean, it's crazy. Like, now... all of these kids in school right now, they get to just, like, use AI, and it writes all their stuff for them. I had to do actual work. This is bullshit. And I'm like, man, I don't want to be on this planet anymore. Back in my day, we couldn't even have our graphing calculators out because we had notes typed out.
That is one of my favorite things that, like, I wish time travel was real so I could go back and tell, like, three different math teachers, ha ha, fuck you. I do have a calculator in my pocket at all times. Not only a fucking calculator, I don't even need to do the equation. I can take a picture of it and there's an app that will solve it. Eat my butt. Fuck math.
Eat my butt.
You know what I'm saying?
Yo, eat my butt.
Oh, that's one of my favorite insults. Because I feel like the butt brings it to such a juvenile level that like, it's not even eat my ass. It's eat my butt. I could take it even a further and like say, eat my shorts like Bart Simpson.
I was about to say, it is the next, it's the evolution from eat my shorts. Yeah, it went from like eat my shorts to eat my, like, I think it skipped a couple of like ratings, you know, MPAA ratings, went straight from like G to X.
Yeah.
And now we're back to like, probably like PG.
Yeah. Because also when I say eat my butt, I'm meaning more in like take a bite out of my ass cheek and chomp on it, you piece of shit. Yeah. Which I don't know how that isn't good for me. But anyways, bite my shiny metal ass, as Bender would say.
Yeah, that's pretty good. I like his phrase. Oh, man. Talking about robots. You know what happened for me recently? Slay the Spire came out, and there's robot in that game.
I was like, your Game Boy is a robot machine that plays games?
Yeah. Okay, real talk, the Analog Pocket is fucking amazing, and I got the dock, which I find to be hilarious because I refuse to play the Switch on the dock, but I'm enjoying the shit out of the Analog Pocket on the dock.
Yeah.
Because, like, I'm playing Super Nintendo games, and it's nice to play it on the go, but, man, putting that shit on the TV, chef kiss.
Go ahead, sorry.
Go on.
I was just going to say, you and Zeus talking about them and playing them so much, it did inspire me, and I did put my Castlevania Advance Collection back on my Switch, and I have been playing that on my Switch, true handheld style, too. Like,
yeah,
let's go.
Which one are you going through?
Aria of Sorrow, I'm trying to 100% it, so.
Cool.
I'm buttoning up some loose ends.
Hey, it's the most popular out of that series, so might as well bang through that. But dude, Slay the Spire 2 got announced this week.
I saw that too. You and Mike were very hype.
The very next day, my Slay the Spire board game came in. Like, I didn't even know it was coming last time we recorded.
Yeah. And then Michael got his, like, earlier than you did.
Yeah, he got his, like, 2 weeks earlier than me. But, dude, we've played it every single night since it came
really?
Out. Yeah.
Damn. Can you play it co-op?
Oh, yeah.
That's sweet.
Dude, up to four players. And I think co-op makes Slay the Spire arguably a better game.
Probably. I wonder if the second one will have co-op.
From what I hear, co-op is going to be introduced video game wise in Slay of the Spire 2.
Tight. That'll be interesting.
Dude, it's a whole different game. It's I can't stop smiling right now. I can't stop thinking about the game. I moved it. It's been on our kitchen island for the last couple of nights, and I just moved it out onto the sun porch so we can just sit out there on some nice days and just be playing it into the evening. So fucking hype. It's so good. We are getting demolished in Act 2, but that is fine. That is fine.
So how does it work for the enemies?
So how it is it basically sets up how the board looks in the game. Where, you know, when you load in and it does the pan up and shows the boss at the top and you've got the different tracks. So you have, a couple boards for each act, and then you randomly assign the tiles that are going to be on the board. And there's four tracks on the side of the board, just like four circles. And you'll put your miniatures in one of them, you know, let's say player one on the bottom and player two above that. Though you play simultaneously and you discuss, there's no back and forth. You can just be like, we can be taking our turns at the same time while communicating, whatever. But whenever you move up the track, going up the spire, and you land on an enemy, you draw an enemy card for each player. And then it fills out, like, so you have the base enemy, and then those enemies summon more guys from the deck. So you know how you'll... You'll play against the dude that's like a soldier, and then behind him there's a mystic, like healing.
Yeah.
Okay, so you'll draw that soldier, and then it'll say summon a mystic from the deck, and you'll pull it out and put it next to him. So we both are fighting against a line of what you would be playing in the video game. they can, our lines can only attack us unless they have an attack all, but you can attack anybody. So we can help if like Sarah is super low health and she really needs help and I can take a couple more hits. I can help her annihilate her row first so nobody can be damaging her before we focus on my line and blah, blah, blah. So it makes it seriously at least twice as involved strategically. And it's, yeah, each act takes a little bit longer than playing the video game, sure. Obviously, because you're doing your own math. You have to remember to be applying the poison and taking your own strength and all of that. But it's easily one of my favorite board games I've ever played, hands down. And I got my buddy, my old roommate who moved down to Colorado. We chatted like the next day. He's put over 3,000 hours into Slay the Spire since it came out. We got it at the same time. And he immediately ordered the board game.
Nice.
He's like, man, you weren't kidding. I just spent $150. That's not cheap. But I'm excited.
that's pretty killer, man.
You heard it here, Contention Games. I sold a copy. Give me a profit.
That's like one one-thousandth of a penny. I think that's the plot to Office Space.
Give it to me. I don't know. I've never seen movie. Office Space. I just know that there's Flair and there's staplers.
That's one that we've got to rectify.
Okay. Have you done it on the show?
I don't think so, honestly.
Fuck yeah, we're good. Let's go.
We didn't do a lot of comedies.
Well, that's
lame. That's a good... That might, because that's Mike Judge too, and that's like a very smart comedy. Office Space rules.
Okay, I mean, people still to this day, mm-hmm. I hear at least once every 2 weeks reference that movie, and I just smile and I nod. And I'm like, mm-hmm, yeah, ha 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 ha.
It will make you hate your job.
Hey, I literally don't need anything to help me with that.
Sure, of course. Nobody does. But you'll be watching it and you're like, man, those fucking bastards.
Yeah.
It's good shit, dude.
There's not a day that goes by where I don't think to myself, man, I really didn't think that I could come across anyone more dumb than people I came across yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
But here we are today. Every day.
I'm trying to think where I interacted with the dumbest people in a job. And I worked at a movie theater, but there weren't really dumb people there. There were always people trying to scam you. Like, mm-hmm. trying to get free upgrades and free shit.
Yeah. It's like, listen, I don't care, cool. But I also wasn't born yesterday.
Yeah.
Like, damn.
My favorites were the guys that would, they'd get water and then they'd like go dump it out and they'd come back and they'd try to get like a Coke or something, but they'd go to a different line, but I'd see them and uh-huh. I'd go over and I'd grab it and I'd be like, here, let me get that for you, sir. And I'd refill it with water again. I'd be like, there you go. They'd be so pissed, but they couldn't really say anything, you know, because, yeah.
Yeah, did you guys have different cups for water versus something else?
No. What we did have was like, just for what the employees could use, was like these tiny little clear plastic Dixie cups.
Little solos?
Yeah, we could have like as much soda as we wanted, but only in like that volume. And that was also the amount of popcorn we could have at one time from like the popcorn machine. So you could scoop out a little cup of it and eat that much, but you couldn't, like working, you couldn't get like a giant cup to sip on and shit like that. Yeah. So, I mean, it was okay. At least it was free, you know? Right? Yeah, I didn't either.
You just keep going back for it. Like, yeah, you look like an idiot. It's like almost if you're a clown wearing a tiny little hat, you know, with a propeller on top.
Yeah, the beanie.
Yeah, but like this is a tiny little propeller hat that gives you popcorn.
But no, other than that, it was just the same cup. We just had different sizes and different candies. Some people there, they would say a candy was damaged and zero it out, and then they just take it and eat it.
Sick.
That was what I never did that one.
Oh no, this candy was open.
I did let a lot of people in for free though.
Into the movies?
Oh yeah.
Nice.
Either for free or I'd give them like the kids discount. Tons of people.
That's what's up. But hey, that one guy that's trying to get a free soda with his water cup.
Yep. And again, it just depended on if I liked you or if I thought you were cool, which was some arbitrary test that I applied to people right there. You know, there was no, it was just like, this guy's cool. Or,
this guy's not trying to scam me.
Yeah. So a couple of times I'd let people, like, I just go open the side door. They like come to buy tickets. I'd be like, just go to the side door.
That's legit. Open it.
And do that a lot. I mean, in fairness, that fucking place got so much of my money back on the Tekken 2 machine they had. I would just take my dollars, change them out. I'd just like open the fucking concession stand, put in my ones, get a handful of quarters, and go dump them in that bitch.
Hell yeah.
I loved it. Dude,
Tekken 2 rolled.
Yeah, because that's what I always like. Nobody got when you worked at a movie theater. Like, there's only, like, you only work in so many sections of an hour because, you know, movies start at the same time, and there's only people coming to see movies, and then everybody's watching a movie for the next hour and a half. So, like, you literally have nothing to do. You're just sitting there while everybody's watching a movie, so...
Were you ever in a position where you, where the movie started, you thought you were in the clear, and so you booted up a game of Tekken 2? But then somebody came out to come get like a refill on something. And you're like, fuck. Oh, yeah. And your whole run was ruined. And they.
Yeah. Because you had to give it up. I mean, that was the rule. Yeah. Like the guy was cool. He's like, I don't care if you play, but I will, as long as you like never make somebody wait because you're playing a game. Mm-hmm. If you ever do that, you'll never be allowed to play him again. And I was like, cool, man. I can respect that.
Yeah.
And they were all only a quarter. So fuck it.
That ain't bad.
Yeah.
Oh, the good old days.
I know, dude.
It's probably like $7 now.
I missed that job, dude. I was fucking 15 and 16. It was so perfect.
Not a care in the world, man.
We used to like, we'd get the new movies in and we'd build them and then we'd have to do a test watch like at midnight that night.
Oh, no.
It was so fun.
What a terrible time.
No responsibility.
Hmm.
It's beautiful.
Damn. Well... I don't know how to transition into this movie after this delightful talk. But
if it was Pearl, it would be easier because there's a lot of obsession with movies in that one.
So you've seen Pearl?
I've seen both of these, yeah. They're A24.
Oh, you'd seen both prior?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Cool.
Yeah.
Well, I have no idea. I have... Okay. So X and Pearl. X came out first. Yes. But
Pearl was greenlit like 2 days after X came out, though.
Which, okay, so that blows my mind. If you look at the release dates of these movies, they came out only, so March is the third month, only like 6 months apart.
Mm-hmm.
Which blows my mind. You've got X being the first movie, Pearl being the prequel, coming out later in the year. Has this really been... Like, what other series have just, like, bang-banged out two movies in 1 year that, for all intents and purposes, from what I understand, both of them are very well-received movies?
Mm-hmm. I don't know anything like that, and I think a big reason that they were able to do it, too, is that they, like, literally got the same location for Pearl, that same farmhouse.
Mm-hmm.
So... That made it easy. Also, I did not know this till this time. Fucking filmed in New Zealand.
No kidding.
Yeah.
I feel like this is a movie that you could have done pretty much in any bumfuck America for still next to no money. Because bumfuck America, I'm sure, isn't charging you a lot of money to film.
Well, it is also, it's set in Texas and... That setting, plus just the style overall, is a big homage to the Texas Chainsaw Massacre, which is in my top movies. I mean, it's not in the top, but I love Texas Chainsaw Massacre.
It's up there. Is it up there enough that you've watched like all of these remakes, reimaginings, reboots, all of it? Like when one of those gets announced, do you go like, oh man, I can't wait to check that out? Or
no, I stopped really caring about them after the third one. The second one's so fucking weirdly out there. That one gave me nightmares.
The OG OGs.
Yeah. The first one. The second one is so weird. That's what gave me nightmares. And it's specifically, there's one part where like the family breaks into a radio station at night and they like are torturing the DJ and they're just like hitting him on the head with a hammer while he's like just like a regular ass like claw hammer. And they just they hit him so many times and it's so fucking, which is again, is homaged at later on in X, the the driving something to the point of absolute excessiveness. And
you're talking about the first kill, yeah?
Yes, with the knife.
Yeah.
And just the absolute Swiss cheesing of his neck.
Jesus Christ. Sarah was like, whoa, I get the point.
Yeah.
Pretty sure he's dead, ma'am.
She also totally fucking ejaculates.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Man. Okay. Uh-huh. So, yes, a lot of very deep homages. One in the, not necessarily the opening scene. So, yeah, I think there is an homage in the opening scene of like the police getting there to, I don't exactly remember the OG Texas Chainsaw, like the opening, but I feel like it wasn't the sheriff's getting there. I think they did do that in the remake, the remake that came out in like the late 2000s, early 2010s. The one
with Jessica Biel?
Yes.
Uh-huh. And Arlie,
I'm pretty sure it absolutely, yes. And it starts with the sheriff being there. So it's very, it's a nice little nod to that, but then it cuts to them kind of just riding in the car to their destination after, actually that's after the whole they pack up. Doesn't matter.
I'm more curious. How many of the Texas Chainsaws have you seen, Sean? Because I also would not have pegged you for a TCM guy.
I've seen probably almost all of them.
Really? Okay, so you've seen even the current remakes and
I haven't like, seen the see most Leatherface? Recent. I haven't seen any of the ones that came out in the last 10 years. I haven't seen.
But so you have seen the Matthew McConaughey one?
Uh-huh.
Oh, man, that's one's so fucking good. That's so insane in that flick.
Yeah. Man, Reese Witherspoon. I like slashers.
Wow. I knew that, but
I also was like obsessed with serial killers when I was younger. And like, that's true. I love reading about them and stuff.
Because you did, you've never seen, were you a Hellraiser kid?
No, I never watched Hellraiser.
Okay.
Brookstober
last year.
That wasn't very accessible for me.
Yeah.
Like, Hellraiser was never really on like TV.
It's because it's so, number one, gory, and two, so over-sexualized. Exactly like this movie.
Yeah, but Texas Chainsaw, I know you could watch Texas Chainsaw Massacre 1 would be streaming on something at least once a year. And so I definitely caught bits and pieces of it here and there, and then just through time, I just pretty much caught them all to the point where, like I asked you, when a new one would come out, I'm like, oh, man, I want to go check that movie out and see how that is. Yeah. So
you can see so much of the first Texas Chainsaw, even though that movie, it's wild to me. That one was, strangely enough, originally rated X. Like,
mm-hmm.
And it's crazy because there's really not much gore in that movie. So much of it is like the cutaway, leave it to your imagination style stuff. Like,
but that right then and there, it was the era that it came out. Oh,
because they'd never seen anything like that. Yeah. And it was so shocking and so like,
whether it was on scene or implied, that was brutality.
And it is weird as hell. Like, it's so off-settling. This one it emulates it a lot. It's a huge homage to it. I think overall, if I have one glaring problem with X, is that I'm not scared of these old people, man.
No, but that's my thing with the movie, is you're not, I don't think you're supposed to be.
It breaks you down. Like, I think it's also more like a theory on the niceness or like the, like the willingness to go along too far out of like not wanting to offend people. There's a really fucking great movie that explores it in tons of depth. I think it was a Swedish movie I saw, which is essentially about that. Like, this guy kills this family only because, like, they allow him to. Because it's like, if you have anxiety, it just makes you feel so awkward. Because it's obvious situations that, like, you should get yourself out of, but, like, these people can't. They don't want to offend people. And I think it's even a bigger part of like ingrained Swedish culture. Like, I don't know. I feel as Americans at a point, we don't have a problem being like, man, fuck you. This is weird. I'm leaving.
Which is weird because as Americans, we are so much more. It's weird where we draw the lines. Yeah. Because we can be like, yo, fuck you. I'm leaving. But also, I think a lot of like the subject matter on this is like, as Americans in general are just so much more prude than the rest of the world. So yeah, it's like,
that too.
It's like, man, as Americans, we really pick the weirdest battles, you know?
And I think it was George R. Martin that he said it the best. He described it. He's like, I can, in the most vulgar and descriptive ways, describe a spear blade entering a human skull and piercing the brain and all of this vivid imagery. And if I do the same describing a penis entering a vagina, I will get 100 times more hate mail about the penis and the vagina scene than the spear and the brain scene. And it's like, yeah, because as a man, we're like, it's weird. We're totally cool with violence. It's sex where we draw the line. And then X flirts with both of those things.
And you have the tones in the background with the evangelical guy on the TV constantly playing, you know, spoilers, Maxine's dad, just blaring from the second that they enter the house until the very end of the movie. Whenever you're in the house, that is playing to these, which is wild. Okay, so like a lot of the themes in this movie is like getting older and losing a lot of what you had and longing for what you used to have. And you have Pearl looking at Maxine and seeing her in Maxine and just realizing I will never get that back. And like she's stuck in this vicious cycle while listening to this evangelical guy on the TV nonstop telling her that she's a sinner for always having these thoughts. And like you said, at no point were you ever scared of these guys. But I think that put me more at unease for so much of this movie. Dude, I sat there like not being able to breathe for like the first 45 minutes of this movie. Cause you know, shit's going to go down somehow. Somewhere
it's Tarantino'd for us very nicely, so it does keep you on edge.
And it's going to snowball real fast because the longer the movie goes on and the less time that you have for something to happen, you just know it's going to be really over the top, very fast. And man, the longer it went on without something happening, I'm like, I was so tense and so wound up and getting more and more wound up. Because Howard, creepy guy, that dude, what the fuck? And then Pearl.
The teeth.
The one snaggle tooth.
And that's where I think the benefit is. Like I said, I'm not scared of these old people. And I think that's what makes them even more effective. Because, I know, given in the same situation, if a frail old man came out and was like, hey, my wife's gone missing. She's got brain problems. I'm worried about her. Can you help me? Like, I'm fucking probably going to help that dude. And I'll probably get murdered.
And you're going to die.
It's fucking insane. But that's what makes them such effective killers, is they are so disarming. I do love that their frailty does play a huge factor in the movie overall. That's a nice touch, too.
Dude, for a movie that had me on edge so much, and then it, for about a seventh of the movie, had me like kind of like peering through my fingers at parts, like, oh, there was, you already know the part, we'll get to it later. There was a moment where I laughed out loud so hard at the end of the movie.
Oh, yeah.
Just thinking about it now.
What I loved is that out of all of them, the first and the last kills are the fucking the best and the most extreme.
So the yes. I like how you flip-flop those, but yes.
But the only one that actually made me cringe and made me bothered was Jenna Ortega, and it was only when like she was trying to unlock the door.
Oh, dude, I was like this. Audio listeners, you won't get it, but I was like this.
Yeah. Yeah, that was the only one that like fucked me up.
Yo, her fingers, man.
Uh-huh. Yeah. Yeah. And then I love how she just gets fucking blasted.
Oh, man, with that hammer, man. Ugh. Yeah. I thought you were going to say when Wayne steps on the nail.
Oh, that is also pretty fucked up, but I think I'm desensitized from watching Home Alone so much.
Yeah.
I still was like, I was, my teeth were bared. I was like, ugh, because I knew it was coming.
Yeah. Ugh. But, especially since you, like, see it go through, and then he gets a knife through the eye.
Yeah. Ah. The pitchfork, and then she comes in, and
yeah,
the way she stabs him when he's already dead is wild.
Okay, so we've done a terrible job
of
even explaining what the fuck this movie's even about to listeners, because I'm just geeked out to talk about this movie.
Yeah.
But this is basically a movie about a group of people. Basically, you got Wayne, who I think runs a strip club.
Yes.
Kind of thing. Where he has Bobby Lynn and Maxine who work there. And the plan is to, they have this guy, RJ, who has written a pornographic script that's basically like cinema. They want to take Debbie Does Dallas and like blow that out of the water. And this is going to take them to brand new levels. You have Jackson, played by Kid Cudi, as Bobby Lynn's love interest, who's going to be the guy who's lost. What's this called?
The farmer's daughters.
Yes. So he's basically the star of the movie. And then you have, you mentioned Jenna Ortega earlier. She plays little church mouse Lorraine, who is RJ, the scriptwriter's girlfriend, and she's handling the boom mic and all of that. Mm-hmm. So they found the perfect location. Wayne did. Found the perfect location. It's basically this guest house on this huge plot of farmland. And the people who own it are this old guy, Howard and Pearl. Now, they live in Texas, where anything like pornography and drugs and all of this, it's always the Bible Belt always being screamed that this is the sin. It's going, leading people down the wrong path. And they obviously don't know what they're going to be doing in this guest house. And Howard didn't even know that Wayne was bringing more than himself. Mm-hmm. So he gives them a little warning. Hey, my wife's up there. Please be discreet. Well, all of that kind of gets thrown out the window when Maxine's out and about and Pearl meets Maxine.
Yeah. I also started like to say, that Howard, when he's leaving, he's like, I don't think I like you very much. Even though like he's been cordial, they've been having a fine conversation. He's just like, I don't like you. It's like, yeah. Goddamn. I would leave then. I'd be like, you know what?
Deuces.
Yeah. Also, I don't know. It's silly. I love the setup. Why do you need to film on a farm? You own a strip club, dog.
Yeah, but it's the farmer's daughters, man.
I know.
Trying to outdo Debbie. Like, I get it. I like the premise of this and the idea of they are trying to make classy, like, theatrical pornography. This is when the advent of, like, VHS and home video was about to explode.
The other guy wants to get in. He doesn't care about the artistic shit. He just knows Debbie Does Dallas also made like millions in 1970s dollars, like that, and they shot it like on a fucking camcorder. It was just people having sex around Dallas. So, yeah, he just wanted in on the money. RJ was trying to make art, and then, man, that poor guy.
Oh, I wouldn't even say that poor. That guy had what was okay. Maybe not how he died.
But yeah,
I thought it was hilarious. Sure. When they were all sitting around, and of course you've got Lorraine, who doesn't say much of anything. She's super conservative, but she sees everything that's going on. But she has all these questions of like, well, you two are together and you two are together. Like, why are you okay with her having sex with him and blah, blah, blah? And you got RJ going, oh, yeah. It doesn't matter. It's just business.
Yeah.
And it's only just business until Lorraine wants to have sex too. Hmm.
And then
RJ, you done fucked up, man.
Yeah. You brought her along. He showed her the wiles of the world and Kid Cootie's gigantic dong.
Big old penis.
I love when he, that's got to be a prosthetic, because when he answers the fucking door and it's just in shadow, but you see it dangling down to the fucking knees and you're like, God damn, dude. And he's like, let me put on some drawers, old timer. I'll help you look. I was like, oh, Kid Cootie, you're going to die.
Yeah. And so you've got Maxine going up to the house, and one moment, also, please. You keep going. Rupert just decided he wants to annihilate this bone.
Maxine swimming in the pond, also doing so naked, is also where we find out that there's an alligator in this pond slash lake, which honestly is like the one scene in the movie that I was like, come on, because when she hops out and she immediately turns around, she wouldn't see this giant fucking alligator right behind her.
Mm-hmm.
I thought that was just the tiniest bit silly. It was nice, like, tense build up where it shows it like coming up behind her, like when she's getting out and she's somewhat blocking it from view. When it's not in the fucking camera, you're freaking out.
Yeah.
But that croc has the best callback later.
I think I agree with you on that for me was kind of like the most ridiculous thing in the movie.
Uh-huh.
Like visually and as a scene, because it is what it was like, oh, you're tense, but you're like, this is also Maxine. You know nothing's gonna happen here, but it's tense, whatever. But then you know this is gonna come back later.
Oh yeah, that was a Chekhov's alligator.
Much like I like the parallel between that and when Wayne shows up to the house and Howard answers the door with a gun and being like, you from government, blah, 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 right? It's like, there's a big Texas thing in here, like, everything's posted. If you're in here, I can shoot you. Mm-hmm. Later on in the movie, drag her in the house. We can say it's self-defense, whatever.
Yep.
And he goes, gun's not even loaded. To which Wayne says, I've got one in the glove box too. Same thing. That had a cool moment later on in the movie. But if you want to carry on for a moment, I've got to get Mr. Super Loud Chewer out of here.
Yeah, so she's swimming and Pearl is observing her because in case somehow anybody out there didn't know this, both Maxine and Pearl, so the young porn star and the 80-plus-year-old woman living on the farm, are both played by Mia Goth. And just when she's playing Pearl, she's in an obscene amount of prosthetic and old person makeup.
Little known fact, she, when in the credits, as Maxine, she's Mia Goth, and as Pearl, she's Maya Goth.
Oh, really? Okay.
No.
I never watched the credits, so I was on the hook for that one. But yeah, so she's played by the same person, which again is playing into these elements in the story about Pearl missing her lost youth and her lost sexuality, and the fact that her and Maxine have a similar story and that they both want to be stars. They both fear their owed a larger and more impressive life than the one that they've been dealt, whether it be that of a young farm girl resigned to a life of nothingness on the farm, or the wife of a conservative preacher who is restrained from enjoying the other fruits of life. They're both like put into these boxes as women, and it's how they reacted differently to them, whereas Pearl stayed under the weather, and Maxine breaks out of this shell and this societal norm and is much happier in her life. And that's the thing that you know, Pearl is overall jealous of and upset about, and has this seething animosity and anger, and that's why she goes on to eventually kill all of these kids, because she hates that she's not young and pretty and fuckable anymore.
Yep. It's like she's slowly, every time, because as you find out later in the movie, this isn't the first time that they've done this. They, like, have this mate. They don't say how many times, but they do have, you have Jackson, when he's about to get killed, gets blasted in the chest. He finds a car that's ditched in the lake. You have Lorraine, you know, shortly before her fingers get demolished by a hammer, she's down in the basement and finds a guy chained up with his, pretty sure his penis, like, mutilated down there.
Something, I think that was because, again, I think it was his hips were bruised. It was implying that Pearl had been raping him.
Makes so, complete sense.
Again, she's really fucked up in that way.
And also, she also nice says, touch. Why do you get...
Just going to say, that guy in the basement, if you, at one point when they're drinking milk, he's the missing person on the milk carton.
No way.
Yeah. Yeah. It's a nice little thing.
I never noticed that. I like how Pearl goes, you guys are always flaunting it. Everybody that comes across here is always flaunting it. So it's like she's constantly being exposed to people coming and staying in the guest house. And just fucking in front of her. And you got Howard being like, I'm going to have a heart attack if we have sex.
Yeah.
But spoilers, as you find out, they definitely boink. And that's not what gives him a heart attack.
No. I did like what did give him a heart attack. I also, again, that was another nice little touch, because I like that that tied back in the beginning when we see the dead guy in the basement, because that's the last thing that the sheriff sees before the movie kicks off. One of his deputies says, I think you ought to see this, sheriff, and he takes him downstairs, because that's a guy that's been missing for weeks that they've been looking for, and he's like, oh, hey, we've also solved this other case. So I thought that was a nice little touch, too. It was overall very well-written and constructed flick.
Now that you mentioned, like, the milk carton thing, that, like, that's a nice little bow on that beginning, that as much as, like, this is a movie I don't care to go back and watch again for, like, another year or two, when I do watch it again in the future, it's something that I'll be like, ah, oh, nice. Look for those little nice bits and bobs. Yeah. Anyways, from this point forward, you know, as we've already alluded to, you've got Howard and Pearl. Well, basically, Pearl systematically just annihilating everybody in this troop. Howard takes out two of them, I think, with his shotgun.
Yeah,
definitely blast Jackson.
And he blast
Lorraine.
Uh-huh.
Which too. I think that was the funniest kill in the entire movie.
Oh, that one was? Okay.
Oh, when to she you? When she
just runs out the door, Maxie. And
oh my god. Maxine frees her from the basement, and she's like, no, I'm out of here. She runs out.
I hate you. I blame you for everything. Kablow.
Pow. That was good. Just gets smoked from off screen. Beautiful. Yeah. And then she like twitches and gives Howard a heart attack.
Which was great. He just fucking crashes. But then, no, my favorite kill was Pearl, when she fucking goes to blast her. And blasts herself out, because she shoots the shotgun, this frail old lady, and it blasts her out the door and breaks her fucking hip. And
that is the scene I'm sure you already knew when I said I laughed out loud so hard.
Is that the one? Okay, yeah.
I laughed so hard when she shot that shotgun and went flying 20 feet backwards. Dude.
It was so funny. And then I love when Maxine just runs over her fucking head and it just pops. So like fucking good.
Fucking watermelon, dude.
Like I said, that kill, and then the first kill with her just stabbing him in the throat like 30 times to where it just is fucking sawed off almost. And the body's twitching and everything. Dude, that shit was good.
That but was gross.
I like how the movie bookends with like the two most brutal and overly excessive kills.
Yeah. I like how RJ's death there when he's getting stabbed in the neck. It's like in front of... I like how it's framed because he is pissed off that Lorraine just fucked Jackson. And in the middle of the night, he's like, fuck this. I'm done with the film. I'm out of here. So he takes the keys and goes to leave. And so he gets in the car and Don't Fear the Reaper's playing, which was such a nice fucking touch.
Sick.
So sick, dude. And then he starts driving and all of a sudden, like, it's like a scene out of Resident Evil, whatever.
Yeah.
One of the newest Resident Evils where like she is there.
And it's fucking nothing headlights.
But headlights. Oh, yeah. Dude, it was so creepy.
You see her holding her hand behind her back and you know, man. That's another one.
Fucked, brah.
I love that shit where like it's building tension. You know it's coming. You know what's going to happen. It's done so well. You're just like, get it the fuck over with. And she just stands there forever and tries to kiss him. And
she tries to fuck him.
Yeah. And of course, as soon as you resist, I love it. She just jams that fucking thing in his neck. It's so
and
quick.
The headlights are still on and they're getting covered in blood. So this entire scene that we're watching is just getting more and more red tinted.
It's so artistically hinted and just self jerk offy. And I loved every second of it.
Oh, yeah. This movie to me was when it ended. It's one of those movies where like it ends and I'm like, man, I don't know how I feel about what I just watched, but I can't wait to watch the other ones.
Yeah. I'm excited to see Maxine.
July 5th.
I'll be interested to see where we go and how you do with Pearl. I remember I liked X better than Pearl.
Okay.
So.
It was a big toss-up. Yeah. As to what we were going to watch, because when we were trying to decide, it's like, okay, well, X came out first, but Pearl's the prequel. Yeah. Is it intended to watch X first and then the prequel? Or is it one of those you stumble across these movies and it's like, oh, let's watch the first one, you know, canonically, and then move on from there. But we ultimately decided to obviously go with X. But I can't wait. I don't know even what they will do with Pearl. Like, I have no fucking idea, and I don't care.
Yeah.
I like how X is right in the middle of Pearl and Maxine. So watching X first and knowing that Pearl's before, you have this whole world before and Maxine this whole world after this middle event. And I'm kind of really glad that I watched X first.
Yeah, I think that's the way you should do it. So.
So. I don't know.
Shawnee, I got a question for you.
Yeah.
What was your favorite kill in the movie?
My favorite kill in the movie. It's really tough because they're all so different and... I'll say my least favorite one was Wayne.
Sure. He gets kind of just blah.
Yeah. It was like there and like you got the shock value of the nail through the foot. Like that's nice touch. Sure. And then a knife through the eye, like looking through a hole, you just know what's going to happen. You know, when someone's looking through a hole and you know, it's that type of movie where someone's going to pop out and kill you kind of thing, right? But then she comes in and just like, the lackadaisical stabbing with the pitchfork.
So nonchalant. I loved it. Yeah.
Where it's just like, it's almost sexual in that way as well, where she's just slowly penetrating him with a pitchfork. It's kind of weird and unnerving. We didn't even talk about Pearl getting into bed with Maxine.
Oh, yeah.
Which is total fucking weird. Too.
Getting naked and caressing her until she wakes up and screams. Which wakes up poor Beth Ann. Or whatever her name was.
Bobby Lynn.
Bobby Lynn.
With the alligator.
which is my favorite kill in the movie.
I think that I was about to say that might be my favorite kill as well. Just because the alligator was so lame, but like Bobby Lynn's interaction with Maxine or with Pearl, and Pearl's like, just
I love she just pushes her and it just goes, bitch, as she gets bit in the head. I love the alligator bites her in the head, and then I love that they actually do the whole death roll thing, and it's so excessive.
It was so excessive, but so fucking dope.
Uh-huh.
I like that whole scene because Pearl's sitting there like shaming Bobby Lynn. Shaming her, but like at the same time, if you take a step back and look at the total picture, like that's what Pearl wants.
Mm-hmm.
But because she can't get it, she's shaming Bobby Lynn because young, hot, can fuck whatever, you know, whereas Pearl's basically trying to fuck everybody before she kills them.
As you're wont to do.
Outside of that, I think RJ's got to be the other best death because it's like, it's what really gets the ball rolling and lets you know kind of what you're in store for. So
it is a slow burn up to that point. And then I was actually pleased. Like the killing is, it's like the last 40 minutes of the movie. This movie's like an hour 47. And I think the first hour is pretty much all slow build. And then I think RJ gets it right around the hour five mark.
Yeah.
And then all the rest of the kills all take, I love this whole movie takes place over just like a day and a night.
24 hours.
Uh-huh.
Because they find the bodies and then it does a 24 hours prior cut.
That's pretty sweet.
I couldn't believe it.
Yeah.
I thought it was going to be like a weekend long, like,
they're fucking a couple days and it gets built up over time that they're staring at him. But yeah, it happens quick, man.
They literally get there and that night they start getting murdered. Fucking wild, man.
Yeah. So
wild.
Yeah. A24X. What is it? Ty? Who wrote this?
Ty West.
Wrote and directed it. Ty West. So, and like I said, he had Pearl already locked and ready to go. I think he probably wrote it around the same time. And as soon as this movie released and got immediate critical praise, they automatically greenlit him doing the sequel.
They had to have filmed these at like the same exact time.
Pretty close to.
Like the turnaround from this movie releasing and Pearl being in theaters 6 months later, Pearl had to have been filmed by the time.
Well, I think that. So they probably still use a lot of the same production crew, too.
Yeah. It was all the same crew, same location.
Yeah, because it's definitely in that farm in New Zealand.
Yeah.
And New Zealand had a big Peter Jackson, man. He put that filmmaking shit on the map, dog.
Yeah.
But,
I don't know, man. So you said A24. That's actually how we got on this, because she was like, have you seen Blackcoat's Daughter? And I was like, oh, yeah, I saw that a couple years ago. Good movie. But then something clicked in my head. I'm like, oh, X is an A24. And I think that's how we started talking about it, because it was on my list. But anyways, I do want to get your thoughts and get into a rating here.
Sure. I was also going to say, I think was an A24, was that the first movie we did on the show? Was it
Saint Maud?
Was that first? No, first one.
No,
we did
Mortal Kombat.
That's right. Yeah, that's right.
I don't even think Saint Maud was number two or three.
It was early on, though.
But it was early. Saint Maud is on towards the bottom of my AT4 flicks.
We should totally do the original Mortal Kombat movie at some point.
I'm down.
The one that's like Mortal Kombat. Yeah. Rating system, bro.
Dude, we should find that 10-hour clip of Mortal Kombat and like in the background of us talking, just have it looping in the background. But then we stop at about...
Yeah. We used to do that shit all the time.
What we should do is end at a normal time, say like an hour and 15 minutes, but then someone looks at their downloads for the podcast and it's 10 hours long. So we actually...
just throw that on the end?
Yes.
I like it.
Oh man, have your rating system?
I do.
Oh man, I just saw the poster for Maxine.
Yeah, it looks sweet as hell, doesn't it? All super 80s'd out and like...
Wait, are you talking about how it looks like the Hollywood sign?
Oh, that one too, yeah. There's also one with like neon. It's got a name in like 80s style, like vaporwave neon. The Hollywood sign one is cool too. Yeah. With the three X's?
Yeah, dude.
Yeah, maybe.
Oh, I can't fucking wait.
But no, I got my rating system, buddy. You ready?
Oh, yeah.
Who's Would You Rather, is it?
It's yours. Okay. No.
No, it's yours.
It's mine.
Yeah. It's mine. All right, buddy. If you, Sean.
Yeah.
Were, let's say, of a lineage that stretches back, I think, 550 million years, you're a cold-blooded reptile that has about, on average, 80 teeth in your mouth, okay?
Okay, yeah.
And you, swimming in a pond, bite this blonde bimbo in the head.
Yeah.
When you snap your jaws around her head, on a scale of 1 to 80, how many teeth do you have in your mouth when you bite her?
When I snap my teeth around this blonde's head, on a scale of 1 to 80, I will say a good 62, probably firmly implant into that head. And no world is this a masterpiece of a movie. And I'm sure on subsequent viewings, maybe I will, my opinion of it will go up higher. This isn't one of those, this wasn't Midsommar in that when it ended, yes, I was like, I don't know if I liked or hated that movie. And over the years, like my adoration for that movie has grown exponentially.
Sure has.
I'm not at that point with this movie, but I feel like that's three out of four stars. Like, I feel like that's pretty good.
Yeah. Okay.
Even then, maybe I'd go an extra tooth or more. I think the sound design in this movie is great. I like the idea. I like the whole whole idea of filming pornography in this super conservative Texas town. I love that it turns out that Maxine's the daughter of the preacher on the TV. I thought that was a nice little nod to something you hear nonstop through the movie and what she's trying to get out from underneath the grasp of, like, I'm sure her dad's thumb all over her whole life, blah-de-blah. There's so many parts of this movie that really, 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 really work. And there's not much for me to not like. So I don't know why my rating's so low, but that's where it's at.
I totally get it, man. I would say I like this movie better the first time I saw it. This time it was a little long in the tooth for me. Again, I think overall because Pearl is an interesting villain, but they're never really threatening. Like I'm never overall scared or worried about them in the movie. And I think overall, like on repeat viewings, especially, like I was more terrified of the fucking alligator when it's swimming up to her in the daylight. That's such a cool shot. Even though I know she's not going to get eaten, that has more tension than almost any other thing involving the two older people. So
that 15 seconds of alligator built more suspense than every shot of the anaconda in Anaconda. Which we covered 100%. That episode in Animal Month a couple years ago.
I remember that when we did a single, every episode was, a different.
We did the name anaconda, of a singular name of an animal.
Piranha. So,
pig, piranha, anaconda, and something else. I don't remember.
I can't remember either. That was so fucking hilarious, though, that we were able to do that.
Yeah. We just come up with the stupidest shit for months, but I love it.
I do too.
All right, buddy. Kyle.
Yeah.
Oh, man. Ugh. I don't know how to. This is the first movie in a long time that I'm just like, I'm really stuck on a rating. Okay. Imagine. I was going to make a rating off of the box office of this movie. So okay. I'm not going to because I think that's really dumb. So I'm just going to make a quick point. This only had a budget of $1 million and made $15 million. Like. for what you see that Winnie the Pooh Blood and Honey made with like 200,000.
Yeah.
This, like, it's a huge fucking shame that Blood and Honey made so much goddamn money. Like, yeah. It's basically the Paranormal Activity of new shitty horror movies.
Well, anyways. It's also Maxine or X and Pearl are part of a dying breed, which is like this mid-range artsy movie that isn't going to make tons of money, but it'll make some. But movie theaters are all about just the giant blockbuster $200-500 billion movie returns now. So like this, that's why A24 is so important, because they do make these $1 million little movies that are interesting and weird and unique and aren't mainstream, but you know, they are interesting, and I do think they deserve to be made. So
coming off my soapbox, I was really curious to see how much what the budget for Pearl was, but I can't find that.
I don't know, man, either off the top of my head.
Anyways, Kyle, imagine you are this budding porn star who wants to have the best life that she can. She is there for more than what she's been dealt. And, you know, you tend to wander. You've got this, you go out, you jump into lakes, you almost get eaten by alligators and whatnot. And you wander up to the house and, you know, you get invited inside by this little old lady who invites you in for some lemonade. Now you get inside, and boy howdy, are you absolutely disgusted by this place. There is rotting everything everywhere. Everything's filthy. And you sit down in the kitchen, and you look around you, and you see a sink that is overflowing with food and dishes and flies.
Okay.
While drinking your lemonade, you put down your glass and you look down. On a scale of 1 to 18 flies.
Okay.
How many flies have landed on the ice cube in your lemonade? The more flies that are landing in your lemonade denote a higher rating for this movie.
Okay. Yeah, so on that scale, I'm pretty much lockstep with you. I'd say 15 flies.
Cool.
It's not, again, I'm in no hurry to watch this movie again. I do find it entertaining and enjoyable. I also, my one complaint I make a lot, I feel it's a little long in the tooth at an hour 42. I could cut a little bit of that time off. We spend a lot of time meandering at the start, and I you get the point. We just take a lot of time getting there. I think longer than is needed. So, but the homages to Texas Chainsaw Massacre are fantastic, well-intentioned, and well-received. As a fan of the series, I can speak for everyone and say that it's very well done. But yeah, overall, it is cool. I'm excited to see what we think of Pearl, and I'm really excited to watch Office Space at some point in the very near future too. So.
I'm sure Office Space won't be the artsy. I mean, I did appreciate, I'll give it an extra tooth in my rating for, you know, how like artsy. I like when like a slasher movie can be not a slasher movie and more of like a character dive on somebody else and their motivations and like their breakdowns that drives them. Cause there's like a lot of times where Pearl's like killing people, but you still just like feel sympathy for her. You know, it's such a weird feeling that she's such an awful person, but you're like, you kind of feel bad for her at moments in this movie. At least I did. So it's fun that the movie could do that.
And Maxine just walks past her with this look of utter disgust and then runs over her head. That fucking ruled. So
yeah. Anyways, yeah. Kyle, thank you for joining me.
Buddy. Hey, I'm glad you sent this recommendation out. Like I said, I wouldn't have expected this from you, so I was super happy to hop on board.
Hell yeah. All right, man. I look forward to whatever we're doing next week.
Yeah, we'll figure
but
it out.
Until then, you want to let these fine listeners know what they can do while I think of the Would You Rather that's going to be on after this song?
Sure. And based on the subject matter of the movie with the pornography and the porn stars and the things that they do and the things and the oiven, we're going to give it a good old-fashioned throwback. Go fuck yourself.
Hit him with that spadoinkle. Would you rather be trapped in a basement and getting out and reach your hand out and have all of the hands in your, all of the bones in your hand broken brutally with a ball peen hammer over and over again until your hand is mangled? Or would you be staring down an old lady coming at you with a pitchfork, knowing that the first stab will kill you?
Jesus, as much as it sucks, I got to go with a mangled hand. You know, at least you still got a chance of doing something. And maybe the last thing you see won't be a lady's saggy titties.
Nah, dude, you're about to get blasted while you're running out the door.
Yeah, I mean, sure. Probably, but...
Off-screen shotgun. Pow! Oh, shit.
All right. Bye, buddy.
Peace.